This is The Splendid Table from APM, American Public Media, the show about life's appetites. I'm Lynn Rossetto Casper. Did you know that bees pollinate a third of our fruits and vegetables? You see, farmers contract to have bees moved onto their land each year because nothing else can do their job. Well, in 2006, the bees began disappearing in big numbers. This phenomenon, which also moved to Europe and Asia, by the way, was called colony collapse disorder. And it left experts baffled. Well, Dr. Marla Spivak is an entomologist and distinguished McKnight professor at the University of Minnesota. Now, she's been working with bees for decades. And on a beautiful spring day, we met up with Marla and the bees at the university, but not before donning protective bee suits, tucking our pant legs into our socks, lowering our voices, and moving a bit slower than usual.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is puff a little smoke in the entrance of the colony, and that lets them know I'm here. And then I slowly, all my movements are going to be slow.
Right.
So I'm going to take off the lid, and the outer cover, and what you're seeing are a couple of buckets. Because this is a new colony, we're feeding them a little sugar syrup to get them going until flowers are really in bloom. And that's just happening today, really. This is the first time we've had some really nice weather, and we'll have nice weather all week long. So pretty soon we'll be able to stop feeding the colonies the syrup.
So we're looking now at what are called the worker bees?
Yeah, you're seeing a few worker bees. They're female. They're sterile females.
Are they always female?
Yeah, it's a female society. And about 5% of the colony will be males, but they're starting to raise males about now and into June. And then at the end of the season, they throw the males out of the colony. We call the males drones.
Now, why raise them and then throw them out?
Well, the drones don't do any work for the colony. Their sole job in life is to mate, and then they die. So the drones don't have a stinger. They can't defend the nest. They don't have the baskets on their legs to collect the pollen, and they don't have a place in their... Well, they have a place to store nectar, but they don't forage for nectar, so they don't make honey. And they don't secrete wax, so they really don't do any work in the colony. They just fly out every afternoon when they're mature and look for virgin queen bees to mate with.
So just to give us an overview, what is a day in the life of a bee?
Well, it depends how old the bee is. So if you're a young bee, between about 1 to 10, 14 days old,
right,
you would stay down with the queen and you would polish cells so the queen has a nice polished cell to lay an egg in, and you would feed the queen and you would pass her pheromones, which is her chemical scent, from her to the other bees. So mostly you're what we call in the brood nest, and you're feeding larvae, you're feeding your sisters, immature sisters. So you're a nurse bee, basically, when you're young.
And then as you mature.
And then as you're mature, then you start... The middle-aged bees are the ones that store the nectar. So an older bee is a forager, and she'll go out and collect nectar, and she'll hand it off to a middle-aged bee, like a teenage bee, and that bee will then store the nectar in a cell and convert it into honey. And the middle-aged bees also are the ones that secrete a lot of wax.
And then
age. When they're about 3 weeks old, then they start foraging regularly, and then that's all they'll do until they die. And they die when they're 4 to 6 weeks old.
So it's really short life.
Short life, yeah. But the queen's constantly, she's laying 1,000 eggs a day, so they're replaced.
Now, what's happened to these bees, the colony collapse disorder?
Yeah.
Can you briefly describe what that's about?
Well, bees are dying. It's hard to keep colonies alive anymore, and there's many things going on at once. So in three categories... The first one would be there's simply not enough flowers out there to support bees throughout the season. So these are flowers that provide nectar and pollen for bees. Not just in cities, but in agricultural areas, there's just simply not enough flowers for bees. And then the flowers they encounter are contaminated with pesticides, which can kill them or have sublethal effects on them or just combine poorly with poor nutrition and a compromised immune system. And then bees have their own diseases and parasites, and all of those things just combine really poorly. So
it's been a combination of factors.
It's a combination of factors, yeah.
But it's been so dramatic, and it seemed to come on very quickly.
and a lot of colonies were lost.
Yes, a lot of colonies were lost beginning in the winter of 2006, and it's been like that ever since.
Why do you think it started so suddenly?
Well, that's what we're trying to understand. And actually, honeybees have been in slow decline since World War II. And that's just the change in our agricultural practices, the use of pesticides, mm-hmm. the use of fertilizers rather than rotating crops with clover. And so all of these things have been reducing the number of bee colonies nationwide since World War II. But in recent years, it seems like it should be a new disease or possibly a new pesticide or the combination of those things. And that's what we're trying nationwide. That's what all the scientists are trying to figure out.
But you're going to open up the
hive? Of course I am, sure. The bees are kind of wondering what we're doing here.
Yeah. You're going to lift the top.
Well, these are called frames,
right.
Wooden frames. And inside the frame, what you're seeing is this plastic-based foundation. The bees don't need this. They can build their own comb, wax comb,
right.
naturally. We give the foundation to them as a guide so that they'll build the comb straight, because otherwise they do some artistic things and then you can't get the frames out. Well, here, I'll show you this one. This one, the bees are just starting to secrete wax.
Oh,
and they're,
my.
We call this drawing out comb. So they're secreting wax using the foundation as the base. So that one's just getting going. And this one, now this frame, you
this
can see they've done a lot.
Bees.
And it's beautiful. So
here's
the queen, and we painted her. We gave her a dot of red paint on her thorax so that we can see her quickly. You see her? She's beautiful.
She is magnificent. She has a longer body than the other bees.
Correct.
What is she doing right now?
Well, she's freaking out because we just brought her out into the sunlight. But she's starting to calm down a little bit. And if you watch her now, she's sticking her head into the cells, and she's looking for a place to lay an egg. So that's what she does all day long, is go from cell to cell and try to find an empty, polished one that she can lay an egg into. She puts her head in a cell. Oh, she's going to lay an egg for you.
Oh, my.
She's laying an egg. Do you see her?
Oh, yes.
Well, she put her abdomen way down in the cell. That was it.
And she's now hunting for another spot.
Yes. When the queen lays an egg, she can... Well, before she lays the egg, she can decide to fertilize that egg or not. And it's not a conscious decision like we decide.
Right.
But she's laying another egg. She's just going nuts here for you guys.
Oh, my.
She has a sac inside of her where she's stored sperm from the males that she mated with. And as her eggs develop in her ovaries, which is why her abdomen is so large,
yeah.
she's just full of ovaries. As eggs develop and they move down her oviduct, she can fertilize an egg or not. And if it's fertilized, it will develop into a female. And if it's not fertilized, it's just an egg, unfertilized egg, it will develop into a male.
So she actually populates the hive as it needs to be populated?
Correct. But she's not really ruling the roost. She's not really in charge.
Uh-huh.
She's in charge genetically over
yeah.
It's her offspring. But the workers are making decisions. So if she starts laying male eggs and they don't want to rear the male eggs, they just won't.
Uh-huh.
So they're kind of controlling the population also.
I see what you mean about social beings.
Yeah.
Explain to me how you began to work with the bees and attempting to solve this problem of the bees disappearing and dying.
Oh, well, I've been at the University of Minnesota since 1992. And I would say the topic of all of our studies are on bee health.
Uh-huh.
And mostly I'm interested in promoting bees' own defenses. The general concept of what we do is called social immunity. And this was a term that was just coined a few years ago by a woman in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
But this idea is that bees have behaviors so that within the colony, the behaviors of bees act like cells within an immune system of an individual. So it's really immunity at the colony level. And when you're thinking at the colony level, then you think of the bees as like cells within the organism. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, okay. It does. It does.
So hygienic behavior is when individual bees can sniff out these little larvae that are
right.
sick. And they can smell them before the larva even shows clinical symptoms of the disease. And they discard the diseased larvae. And so that reduces disease transmission. Bee colonies are actually smart. You know, the mass of one individual brain isn't very big, but if you put the whole collective mass of brains together, it's almost the mass of our human brain. Now, they don't think the way we do,
yeah,
reflectively and things like that, but the colony is very responsive, and the hygienic behavior is a genetic trait. So some colonies express the trait more than others, so you just, when you find a colony that really expresses hygienic behavior, they're very rapid cleaners, then you raise daughter queens from that colony.
Mm-hmm. So the future?
Oh, the future. Well, I think, well, I'm an optimist. So for me, the future's always bright. There's a huge interest in beekeeping now, and that's a good thing. It's hard to keep bees alive, but the huge interest in beekeeping means that people will start paying attention to what bees need in the environment. If you're a beekeeper, you have to be a better steward of the earth. You have to pay attention to how many flowers are out there. You have to pay attention to the pesticides that are being used. And you start paying attention to bee diseases and mite pests. And once you start paying attention to what the bees need, then
the
world
changes.
Gets better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Marla, thanks so much for having us and for introducing us to the bees.
Thank you.
Marla Spivak is an entomologist at the University of Minnesota. Now, her bee research was recognized with a MacArthur Genius Grant. You're going to find more conversation with Marla about those fascinating insects on our website, splendidtable.org.